Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur. Please take note of this at the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Again, we repeat, top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaBogeres Sheshuasa Yud Beis Chodesh Valmona Shloshim Yom. A bogeres is a girl that has reached 12 and a half years of age, and she is in the process of getting married. That means in this case, she's in the process of getting married, or an almona, a woman who had been a widow who is now remarrying. Rabbi Elazar Omer, hoyelu bailo chayav b'zeresel yofer. With the passage of this amount of time after the, say there is a first stage in marriage, we call the erusin, where a man offers a woman money or something of value in exchange for her accepting his offer of marriage. And after they enter erusin, there's a period of time from which, a point in time that the husband says, you know, I want to now consummate our marriage. That's what you see in the Beforshim Mishatov'ah. He seeks her out. So that after he was ma'aris her, he then seeks her to consummate their marriage. From that point, there is time that we allot to the couple to get their matters together, to get their finances together in order to enter a married life. So with regard to the Bogeris that the Mishnah features here, we're speaking about a 12-month period and an almona, a widow who is remarrying, a 30-day period from the Shas Tviyah till the expected consummation of the marriage. Let us say that time frame, that time allotment lapses, and the husband, for whatever reason, doesn't actually consummate the marriage. In other words, enough time was allotted, and he doesn't go ahead and consummate the marriage as was expected. So at that point, the husband, even though they're not living together as husband and wife in the full sense of the idea, he is obligated to support her. And if he is a Kohen, so, and she is coming from a non-Kohen family, she will then start eating Truma. This is, of course, something that we'll see in the Gemara, and it's actually something that went through a change over history. But for our purposes, we're trying to simply illustrate this idea of the passage of the allotted time resulting in the husband now being obligated to support the wife. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hoyelu Bailo Chayev Mezeseha, Yofer, since the husband who had entered the first stage of marriage and simply was waiting to consummate the marriage, but with this passage of allotted time, he is obligated to support her, and as a result of his obligation to support her, he also has the power to annul her vows. A husband does not function as an individual annuller of vows until she enters his domain. I mentioned the husband as an individual. This is in contrast to previous sukkahs that we saw, which dealt with a naro hamurasa, that where the husband and father work as a partnership in annulling vows. Here we're not talking about a na'ara. We're not talking about We're talking about a girl who's already more than 12 and a half years of age. Hence, this is a new topic for us. Before we go further into the Gemara, before we start the Gemara, we glance at the side where you see a topic heading, and the it reads Nisyonei Shel Rabba. We're going to see an attempt on the part of Rabba lahashvois hadin shel Rebbe Elazar b'Mishnah to compare the law of Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah, the Amar Isha Shishas Yudbeis Chidush Mishitova Bailah Linisuin, regarding a woman for whom the 12-month period lapsed from the point that the husband sought her out for Nisuin. At that point, even though they haven't actually consummated their marriage, the husband nevertheless can annul her vows. Lahadin shelo isha shasiyud beis chidish echelus truma debaylo afal pi shelo ichnisa lechupa. To the halach we mentioned also concerning a woman who waited the 12 months, and the husband is a kohen. They haven't yet consummated the marriage, even though the 12 months have lapsed. She now starts, or is entitled, to eating truma. Now the Gemara. Omar Rabba. Note that we have a long marking. Following Rabba, there will be a long marking where we feature Abaye, who objects or rebuffs the claim that Rabba makes now. So we have an Omad of Gemara, which basically divides into two long points, Rabba's point and Abaye's counterpoint. The Gemara, Omar Rabba, Rebbe Elazar u'Mishnah Rishena Omru Dover Echad. Rabba and the early Mishnah teaching. We mentioned earlier that there was a historical change. In this case, we're going to be focusing on the Mishnah Rishona, the early Mishnah teaching. Are saying Omru Dover Echad? They say the same thing. There's a common basis to Rabba and the Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona is specifically a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubos, in Perek Afalpi, the fifth Perek of Ksubos. So what does it say over there? This not. Noislib Sula Yudbeis Chodesh Lefarneis Atzma. We allot 12 months to a virgin girl from the point that the husband seeks her out for consummating the marriage. So we're dealing with a 12-month clock that starts running at some point after the actual erusin, the point at which the husband sought her out for consummating the marriage. Higia Yud Beis Chodesh, when the 12-month point arrives, and they haven't actually done the nisuin, they haven't actually consummated their marriage with the chuppah ceremony, the marriage canopy, and the intimacy that the new couple experiences together. So the 12-month mark arrived, and they didn't consummate their marriage. Ocheles mishelo ve'ocheles betruma. She is entitled, nevertheless, to eat or to be supported by him. And if he is a kohen, she is now entitled to eat from truma as the wife of a kohen. We have a bracketed section, and if you skip the brackets momentarily, you see it says Zu Mishnah Rishona. This is the early Mishnah teaching. So this seems to be similar to what we saw in our Mishnah, namely Rebbe Eliezer. In our Mishnah said, with the passage of 12 months, the husband is obligated to support her, thereby giving him the rights to annul the vows. Now let's go over the bracketed section. The reason we have this in brackets is that what's in this section isn't directly related to the goal of the Gemara, the point of the Gemara. Here you have a discussion concerning a Yavam and Yavama, a woman whose husband died, leaving no children, but a surviving brother, the woman's brother-in-law. he is called the Yavam, and he's expected to marry her in order to generate or promote the as the Torah says, the name of the deceased. For our purposes, though, the reasons behind Yibum and Ar are not important for understanding this Gemara. Nevertheless, it says, Avol ha-yavam eino machil betruma. If the husband that died was a Kohen, naturally his brother is a Kohen. However, the Yavam will not, if she is a Shemeris Yavam from Erusin, in other words, the husband died leaving her an Arusa, she had not consummated her marriage with the husband, and she now is a widow from Erusin, waiting for the Yavam. A Yavam does not entitle her to eat from Truma. She was with the husband for 6 months, and when we speak about 6 months, we're talking within the framework of the 12-month period that we mentioned earlier. So she experienced 6 months with the husband, and then he died, another 6 months with the Yavam in anticipation of his marrying her, of doing Yibum. V'afilu kulan b'fnei habal choser yoim echad. Even if all 12 months minus a day, is almost a complete 12 months, the husband was alive, and at the last day he died, o kulan b'fnei hayovam choser yoim echad, or she was only one day with the husband from the point he sought her out, and then he died, and the balance of the time was with the Yavam. Eino oicheles betruma. She is not entitled to eat truma. Zu Mishnah Rishona. This is the early teaching. Beis Din Shachreim Amru, the latter Beis Din said, Ein ho'isha oicheles betruma atshi tikanes lechupa. A woman is not entitled to eat truma, to eat the truma tithe given to Kehanim, until she consummates her marriage, until she actually consummates her marriage. The Gemara in Ksuba cites two reasons for that, but that's not important for right now. It's just that the Beis Din Shachreim, the later court ruling, is non-truma entitlement until actual consummation of the marriage. So up to this point, we see a seeming parallel between Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah that says with the passage of those 12 months, a husband can annul her vows, and this Tanaic source, which says with the passage of 12 months, a woman is entitled to eat from Truma. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rabba, Dilma Lohi, maybe the parallel is not so. In other words, the fact that Rebbe Lezer says after 12 months the husband can annul her vows, that doesn't mean that Rebbe Lezer would say she's entitled to eat from Truma. Or the Mishnah Rishona that says after 12 months the woman is entitled to eat the Truma, the Mishnah Rishona would not necessarily say that after 12 months a husband can annul her vows. So Abaye makes this point, Dilma Lohi, maybe it's not parallel. Ad kan lo ko ashmin on Mishnah Rishona. It could be that up till this point, the Mishnah Rishona indicates the right of a woman to eat from Truma, lemechal b'truma de Rabbanon, to consume rabbinic mandated Truma. What do we mean by rabbinic mandated Truma? So there are, you have different possibilities of explaining that. Rashi makes reference to Truma nowadays. In other words, when the majority of the Jewish people are not in the land of Israel, so the requirement of tithing is only rabbinic. There's another possibility of Truma from, let's say, fruits other than grapes and olives, which represent wine and oil, oranges, apples, that type of produce. Requires tithing, but only on a rabbinic level. So the allowance of eating truma, as far as the Mishnah Rishona is concerned, is limited to well, the low level truma entitlement, truma de rabbanon, rabbinic truma. Avol nidorim de raisa, but as far as annulling vows, which is a Torah level consideration, a Torah empowerment, maybe according to the Mishnah Rishona, the mere fact that she was waiting 12 months for consummation of marriage does not give the husband the right to annul vows. That's already a d'oraisa level empowerment, a Torah level empowerment, and that's not achieved by the mere passage of 12 months. The ad kan lo shamis leil Rabbi Lezer elo gabi nidorim. And likewise, it could be that Rabbi Lezer, who does empower a husband with the passage of those 12 months, that might be limited to the realm of vows. If we skip the bracketed section just to make the reading smooth, so we're saying that Rabbi Lezer says that's true with regard to Nidorim, Avol Truma, Afilu Midrabbanan Ami Lo Achla, but with regard to Truma, even if it's mere rabbinic Truma, she is not entitled to eat it. So now the question is, what is so lenient about vow annulment that Rabbi Lezer would say that we will entitle the husband to do and not entitle the consumption of truma on the part of the wife after 12 months, even if it's merely truma d'rabbanan? So that's revealed within the brackets. The Gemara had said that it could be that Rabbi Lezer's leniency is limited to Nidorim, and we read the bracketed section, Kidder of Pinchas Mishmei the Rava, like Rabbi Pinchas says, in the name of Rava, the Omar Kolanoi Deres Aldaz Bailohino Deres, that women, when they, married women, that is, when they vow with a type of understood stipulation that the husband would approve of the vow. So that the husband's approval of the vow, as opposed to his annulment of the vow, is subsumed in the initial vowing of the woman. So the her vow is predicated on the husband's acceptance. If the husband objects to it, it's as if there was no vow from the very outset. That's why it's easy to envision, or it's easy to empower the husband to annul the vow. Because it's, as we said, it's as if the vow isn't even there to begin with when you see him objecting to it. So that even though it's a Torah level annulment, nevertheless, it's an annulment of a vow that really wasn't strong to begin with. Just to restate what might be obvious, that is that this idea of a woman vowing with the assumed approval of her husband, this is true only when he is a man that is actually supporting her. That's why Rabbi Lezer said what he said only after the 12 months, a point at which time he is now supporting her. So the woman figures, here's a man that's supporting me, and therefore when I vow, I'm doing so only if he were to approve of it. After all, he is supporting me. And therefore, it's very easy to absolve a woman of a vow which she herself didn't really intend to be a vow, in the event that he disapproves of it, and that's quite manifest when he comes to annul it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.